With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Oh, that must be awful. I mean, is there anything I can do?
Well, I want to make a film about it. I want to make a film about feeling like I'm going to burst.
All right, well, you need to contact At Her Film Project. They help fund people from sort of non-mainstream groups.
Oh!
Don't worry, you can contact them online, herfilmproject.com. Or how about follow them on Twitter, At Her Film Project.
Oh, I think I'm about to go.
Oh, well, I've got to do this, I'm afraid. Hello and welcome to yet another episode of Film Fandango, the film podcast which I really think no one longer listens to. But I will still carry on going, talking about films that I've seen. This week, due to budgetary constraints, I have not been to the cinema, but also for artistic reasons as well, I've decided to watch a film on Netflix and its companion film, as I thought it was so interesting. But before we go into that, let's welcome back the return guests from my small circle of friends. It's the popular Simon Fielder.
Oh, hello. Welcome back. I shouldn't say that, should I?
No, you should not.
Thanks
say
for
that.
Having me back.
How you appeared on the podcast about 3 weeks ago.
It feels like it was too recently in a way. And I don't know if it's a sort of double-edged sword being in your tight circle of friends, isn't it?
Well, you'd probably be quite surprised.
Last time I got a free trip to the cinema. This time I had to spend 4 hours of my Sunday watching two Jim Carrey films.
But you would have watched them anyway, I think.
Yeah, I would have watched at least one of them, to be fair.
As a comedian, I think you definitely would have
watched. I'd already seen one of them, and the other one was on my list, so...
Before we start, I mean, your life must have changed since you appeared on the podcast. How has it changed? Our listeners will probably want to know the effect of appearing on here and how it's changed your media profile.
Yeah, well, I think we touched on this a little bit last time, but if anything, that only proved more of a springboard. Our trip to the Picture House Crouch End.
Yes.
That's quite like there's been a lot of offers of sort of media partnerships and that sort of thing.
Really?
Yeah.
How come they come straight to you and not to me?
I think they just. I mean, I think that speaks for itself.
I listened to myself on another podcast.
Did you?
Yeah, well, normally I just. I mean, people. These are only hardcore listeners now who left listen to this, so they want to know the experience. Normally, I just go around David's house, who was the normal host who's on paternity leave for about 3 months, I'm guessing, and just leave it.
Yeah,
I've had to listen back to myself quite a lot.
Of course, in the edit, yeah.
Yeah, horrific.
Do you think David's listening to this now?
No.
Regretting leaving and watching the ship sink under your tutelage?
Forgotten about it. I was on another podcast, I listened back to that, and I generally sound like a mental person who was unable to sustain a thread of conversation for more than 30 seconds.
Mm. It's a lot of pressure on me suddenly, isn't it?
Yeah. Someone sensible, someone to hold the ship steady, ballast.
Well, I'll do what I can, but yeah, anyway, since last time, just everything's taken off. And I think anyone I've gone to the cinema with since has sided with me about sitting in the middle and not right at the back.
Who have you been to the cinema with?
I actually haven't been to the cinema since it was just sort of getting this bit much past its sell-by date.
Do you think that people... that's when you get older, you get set in your ways, don't you? So I don't...
Yes.
Do you think you become more conservative?
Yeah, I think you do, don't you? I just think it's quite clichéd, but you just kind of go, well, I've, you know, spent quite a long time working for all this sort of thing, and I don't want any young rascals... give it up for all these little Royster Doysters. But I think, thankfully, that is balanced by us existing in a sort of creative community and living in a modern, cosmopolitan London. So you can't sort of disappear into the... If you, like, lived in rural Hampshire, I think it'd be quite easy to become very conservative.
I can see why. I went back to the Isle of Wight and it was much nicer. Old cliches, like people actually say hello to you.
Well, sure, but that's the difference just between being in a big city and being in a small town, which I suppose...
It is managed, though. A test is a Sainsbury's test. Go around a supermarket. I went to Sainsbury's the other day with a trolley. Literally, people just barging in front of me. Not saying thank you or anything. Awful.
Right.
Awful manners.
Mm.
And I really felt that I justified it. I can only cope with it by imagining shooting them.
Okay.
I mean, that's one step away from psychopath, is it?
I don't know if it's even a step. This has drifted quite quickly into something we touched upon last time, which was you publicly executing people in the cinema.
Oh, no.
It feels like all roads lead to your sort of horrific regime of public executions.
That is a very... What's the word? A very subjective view of it.
Well, that's what it sounds like to me. It's a very sort of dictatorial Larwood regime.
But I think I'm correct, though.
Well, that is that's what a dictator would think.
I know,
it?
But I mean, you're talking about as if as if my plans to kill people with bad manners is incorrect.
Right.
You're siding with... You're actually pro-bad manners, it sounds like.
I'm not pro-bad manners. I'm just trying to find a middle ground.
What are you going to do about it? Let people roam around, jump in queues, drop in litter on the streets, gobbing in the streets.
Gobbing. I think we'll find the... We'll have to come to some sort of compromise, won't we, across the two sides of this. It's like a tiny parliament.
I suppose that's what life is about, isn't it, compromise?
That's why nothing ever gets done, isn't it? Because this is all it is. Just two old, fusty old white men arguing about youths gobbing in the street.
Do you see yourself as middle-aged now?
No, don't like to. I think it's a state of mind.
How old are you?
39.
Yeah.
I do on paper, but then in real life, I sort of see people... Again, I think it's reflective of where you are, what you do. I think by the nature of living in London... Being single, working in the arts, being creative, that keeps you quite young.
Sounds like you're trying to justify that to yourself, mate.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. What's your point?
I went to doctors today because I had an eye test.
Yeah.
First one in about a couple of years. And she said, I've got cholesterol around my eyes. So I said, what does that mean? I said, I mean, sorry, isn't it about films yet? But
it's a lot of preamble, isn't it?
And I said that same thing. What? I said, what does that mean? She said, well, you just have to go and see your doctor. I said, okay, but what does it mean? You just have to go and see your doctor. So I went to see the doctor and he said he couldn't see it any. But then he said, we're offering health checks for people of your age.
Oh,
and I
no.
said, what do you mean in my, what, you mean prime?
Yeah.
And he laughed.
Physical peak.
He laughed. And he told me I need to lose half a stone.
Oh, this is like the bit at the beginning of the Marc Maron podcast that everyone skips through just to get to the guest, isn't it?
Okay, Phil, I watched a documentary which I found so fascinating, I thought I would like to talk about it with another comic, hence Simon being here. It's on Netflix, it's called Jim and Andy. Can you explain what this is about, roughly?
Yeah, I'd love to. It's almost like a found footage documentary. During the making of the Andy Kaufman biopic Man on the Moon, Jim... Are we going to say Carey or Carrie?
I say Carey, but is it Carey?
I think it might be Carey, yeah. You say Carey, I'll say Carey, and then someone will get a complaint.
It's cool, yeah, okay, sure.
JC, the most famous JC after John Cleese and Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Jesus Christ is more famous
than John Cleese. In what world?
Jesus Christ is.
Have you seen Fierce Creatures? I actually haven't. The point is this.
Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carr.
Carry on.
This is a whole podcast. Just note down the time when we started talking about it so people can skip to
Jane
that.
Seymour.
Okay. So during the making of that film, Jim Carrey employed a documentary crew to film behind the scenes because he decided to take a very method approach to playing Andy Kaufman, or Kaufman, again, I don't know.
Andy Kaufman.
It's Kaufman, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he decided to stay in character for the entire duration. Not even... I suppose it's more than in character because he was playing a real person. He was almost like... He just embodied him and almost was pretending to be a human that had actually existed.
There's an odd moment when he's just... So the documentary is found footage as well as an interview with Jim Carrey narrating it to camera. And there's a moment where he said before preparing for the part, he was asking sort of the gods almost, or where he was going to get the inspiration to become Andy Kaufman. And he saw this dolphin sort of...
He's a very spiritual man, isn't he? He's very like LA and in touch with crystals.
Well, it's fascinating. He does look. He's a classic post breakdown person. He looks like a post breakdown person.
Yeah, he sort of. I think he looks good, but he's got a massive bushy beard, which says you've gone off the reservation.
There's a slight look in his a sort of distant look in his eyes, which I'm sure I'm not just imagining. Which makes me think you've gone, yeah. Either you're on the way back from going mental or you're somewhere out in the regions of the insane.
I think he's... I hope he's on the way back. I feel like maybe he's been on a voyage of discovery for a few years because he talks quite candidly about it and how... And interestingly, like how his journey in film is almost reflective of his sort of star being in its ascendancy and then him losing it a little bit and all this sort of thing. Anyway, to finish the précis of the film, that footage had been locked up for it's 20, almost 20 years.
Yeah, so I think the film Man on the Moon, which I remember seeing, I think on Channel 4 after it came out, it was a bit of a flop by all accounts. And I think one of the first flops of Jim Carrey's career.
Right.
And it's, you know it, you haven't seen it, you would have heard the REM soundtrack, Man on the Moon. So, yes, it came out in 1999, so it was 18 years ago.
And so that footage has been locked away. Now it's been released, and Vice Documentaries basically filmed a talking head of Jim Carrey and have interwoven it with all of the footage from the time and other footage, interestingly, from his career and other movies, which I found very interesting, like footage of him doing stand-up and him when he was younger, that's really interesting to see.
So we've introduced that film. We should go back and talk about Man on the Moon first of all as a film, and then, logically, Jim and Andy afterwards. So Man on the Moon is a documentary we just spoke about, Jim Carrey playing Andy Kaufman back in 99. It's directed by...
Miloš Forman,
who his most famous film is One Throw the Cuckoo's Nest, which is amazing. Amadeus, also amazing film. Things like Hair, he's done. But there's People vs. Larry Flint. But I think, Oscar winning director. I mean, did you know much? You're the same age as me. My parents were big fans of Taxi. I just missed Taxi, which was the huge sitcom when Andy Kaufman played Latka. Also, it was famous having Danny DeVito in it and Christopher
Lloyd,
who you know as Doc in Back to the Future. So I missed that. So this film, I mean, it's a fascinating film.
Yeah, I think I probably came to it like you, not being aware of Andy Kaufman as a human, but not really knowing much about him. And it is incredible. And it seems, as far as I can tell, to be very true to life. Like, all the stuff in it happened. Because they just recreated actual footage, basically, for a lot of it, didn't they? Like, he seems like an extraordinary human.
Yeah, just not on a completely different wavelength and having no fear and pursuing what he finds funny. I mean, what's odd watching it is that I was trying to work out whether it was that I didn't find Jim Carrey particularly funny, and I've never been a huge fan of him, or I didn't find Andy Kaufman funny.
Right.
And I think a lot of the stuff he was doing was so weird and so shocking and so anti-comedy that he never classified himself as a comedian. It was other people who classified Andy Kaufman as a comedian. He said he was a singer and a sort of a song and dance man.
Right.
Who liked just doing things almost purely for his own amusement. So he's sort of someone who can't really be classified.
I would have thought that would have really struck a chord with you.
I found his bravery and the fact he does things without, I think sometimes that sense of madness and not caring and doing things just purely for a weird adrenaline rush of shocking people and making people feel uncomfortable, I could really empathise with, and really understood that in terms of performing things. I found that fascinating. I think he's an intriguing character, and Jim Carrey is brilliant. He didn't get an Oscar for it, did he? But he should have been nominated for an Oscar for it.
Yeah, I think he's amazing in it.
What did you think of that? What did you think of Man on the Moon?
I thought it was a really good film and a really great introduction to Andy Kaufman. If you're not aware of him, I think it told his story, as far as I could tell, in a very interesting, digestible way. And it kind of made me want to know more about him and learn more about what he did and all that kind of thing. Also kind of how he started, because I feel like the beginning part is quite quick. Like, suddenly he gets spotted and he's on Taxi.
I think that's the bit that would be, I agree. I mean, when we worked in this industry, it takes years
of just toiling. But then maybe not. Who knows? But he's an incredible figure. And one of those people that you kind of look at and go, well, I could never do that. You know, that's not... I think I'm more the sort of Jim Carrey approach of, I want to please people. whereas he's just like, I find this funny. And he had a cohort as well, didn't he? His co-writer. So they were kind of like a little scheming team. And they were like, this'll be funny. We find this funny. But the fearlessness as well is just something that I think, perhaps as you get older, you get a little bit more fearless. But I think, you know, from an early age, he just was like, this is what I'm doing. Get on board or don't, because it's still happening. He wasn't compromising his integrity, which is admirable, isn't it? But, you know, for every Andy Kaufman, there's thousands of other weird idiots doing something that they think is funny to nobody forever.
And what's interesting on this British comedy circuit, I mean, it's not, what I think is sad about it, when I started gigging about 2000, same time as you, 2002, 2003, were you a bit later on, I suppose, where there were these people. There was a man who had a t-shirt on which had pig fucker written on it and holes cut on his nipples, and used to shout about fucking pigs.
That wasn't you?
And it wasn't me.
Oh.
It was Phil Zimmerman, you know, who did the pigeon man, who tended to be going about pigeons.
He's bounced back recently.
He's in films now.
Was he on Britain's Got Talent or something?
I don't know, but he's in quite a lot of... He's now sort of the ugly, weird guy in a lot of films because he looks so strange. But you could have easily... One of those could easily have just turned it around and been... I mean, Phil Zimmerman, especially at that time, he's someone you'd go, right, he could be the weird bloke in this, and could have gone on to Hollywood fame, because it looks so distinct and so odd.
Yeah. It made me think of my friend Luke McQueen. You know Luke,
He's
right?
Very funny, yeah.
Who is sort of a quite fearless... I don't know what... He's a comedian, but it's quite performance-y, and... Not to do him a disservice, I think he's amazing and he's very funny, and he's not quite as obtuse as like Kaufman. Like, he wants to make people laugh. But he does do weird things, and I really enjoy them. But sometimes, you know, he does weird things in public, not on stage.
Okay.
and you're just like, wow, you are just fearless. And I think, you know, I envy that sometimes. I think it's great.
Yeah, I think some sort of it is a madness.
To a degree, I think, perhaps.
Yeah. But what's great about Kaufman is, I think he suddenly reinvents himself. That going from the peak of Taxi and being a sitcom star, and then deciding to only wrestle women.
I mean,
and that you could say that he helped form what wrestling is today, the spectacle of it. I don't know the history of wrestling. I'm not a big wrestling fan, but it seemed to be that he was quite a big pioneer in that huge sort of drama and spectacle of it.
I think he definitely played, if it didn't already pre-exist, which I suspect it must have done, but he certainly played into it and brought it into the public forum, like by going on Letterman with the wrestler guy and that kind of thing. I mean, it's hilarious. And I can't tell if it's like feminism or the opposite of feminism.
Yes, it could be both.
Yeah.
It could easily be both. And that's what's so great about it, you don't really know what's going on. And also, as well as that, playing Andy, what I found most intriguing was this sort of spin-off character called Tony Clifton, who's a lounge singer that Andy Kaufman and his friend, the writer, called Bud Friedman? I can't remember what his name is. I can't remember. His friend, the writer, take turns playing this character, who's a really obnoxious, awful lounging, who's really funny, I think.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, the documentary, I think it, what lacks in it.
The documentary or the...
Sorry, the film. Man on the Moon. And also the documentary as well, but you almost want to know if there was anything behind the exterior of, and anything deeper, if it, him being a normal person. There were a few sort of winks with his girlfriend, played by Courtney Love.
Yeah.
He might have been sincere and normal.
Yes. Yeah, it does kind of...
never really mentioned.
It mainly focuses on his sort of public-facing persona, doesn't it? And you kind of get those... You get glimpses into the behind-the-scenes of, like, a tiny bit of him being a kid, and then, you know, moments with his manager or like on set or with his girlfriend played by Courtney Love. But I suppose you never really know what he's like as a human. But then I suppose, did anyone really know? Maybe that's what it is.
So I gave Man on the Moon 7 Marys.
Okay. How many is it out of?
10.
Oh, okay.
Should you give it?
I'd give it an 8, actually, I think.
Yeah.
That's 4 stars, isn't it? If you
maybe it's between 7 and 8. Yeah. So moving on to...
Recommended.
We finished talking about... I think what's more interesting is what happens next with Jim and Andy.
Yeah, I would definitely highly recommend seeing it if you don't... Even if you're not a Jim Carrey fan, and if you know nothing about Andy Kaufman, I think it's not what you would expect from a Jim Carrey movie, if you have that sort of...
It's more the sort of midsection of Jim Carrey, so
serious Jim Carrey,
the Truman Show, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind Jim Carrey,
yes,
than the Ace Ventura Mask Jim Carrey.
Yes, all those films came out in the same year.
What did
Ace Ventura, The Mask, and Dumb and Dumber? Can you imagine?
Wow!
Can you imagine?
Well, it's hope, isn't it? We could have an amazing year next year.
Like suddenly, we just blast out 3 films and become huge stars.
Yeah.
Have you still got that check for £10 million paid to yourself in your wallet?
Oh, that's what he did, didn't he? No, yeah. I didn't. No one uses checkbooks anymore.
Yeah. It's annoying, isn't it? I don't know how you would do that now.
Well, I've still got a checkbook.
I've got a PayPal set up for $10
million. Yeah, do that. Just put
As soon as I put my thumb ID on my iPhone, that...
And bear in mind, they will take something like 3% because of the cost of
that's
that.
That's true, actually.
If you do do that, you will lose £30,000.
But I will have... They give you a little delay now, don't they? So I've probably had 3 weeks to muster up the 10 mil, so...
Okay, but you would lose £30,000.
Yeah, still use £30,000, which some people might call an annual income.
Yeah. Quite a good annual income.
Yeah. Yep. So just watch Man on the Moon. It's on iPlayer, that's what we should say.
It was on iPlayer, I think it's for about 12 days left. So if you listen to this, maybe about 10 days left on iPlayer to watch it. And I think it's really good to watch that as a precursor to Jim and Andy, because you know exactly what's going on. But if you've seen it before, you don't need to. You probably be able to remember it. But I think a great companion piece.
I did the work. I watched both of them. So yeah, I'd like the listeners, if you're invested in this podcast,
if you call yourself a real listener, you'll watch both of them and you'll do it right now. You'll drop whatever you've got in your hands, whether it's a baby or a...
loads of glass.
A catheter.
Why would that be in their hands?
So maybe you're about to go
down. Maybe they're fitting it.
You're fitting a catheter into...
Yeah. We've all been there. Drop it!
Drop it. An urn.
An urn. Or and urn.
Urn. A bloke called urn.
A guy's carrying his Uncle Urn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Up the stairs.
But his Uncle Urn is dead and has been cremated.
No, he is very frail. He's got brittle bone disease.
Ah, okay.
Drop him.
Drop him down the stairs and get iPlayer on whatever device you like. You can get it on your phone, you can get it on your laptop, you can get it on any number of set-top boxes. Other TV catch-up services are available.
You want to get some voiceover work off this, mate?
I'd really like to, actually.
You already do voiceover work.
I do voiceover work, yeah.
I don't do any. Listeners will be surprised to hear that. Anyway, Jim and Andy, then.
Yeah.
It is an absolutely incredible film. To go basically full in character and act like you're Andy Kaufman in front of an Oscar-winning director and a full cast and carry on acting off stage. And what the bits I love the most about it, which is its biggest failings, I think, is when... and this is fascinating. So they're filming... But the actual actors from the original Taxi... are filming scenes for Man on the Moon. So they're all doing it, 15 years afterwards.
Playing themselves. Yeah.
And Jim Carrey is doing an impression of Andy Kaufman, but offset. And all the actors, you can tell they're freaked out. Danny DeVito, who is in...
He was in Taxi as well, but he's not in
He's not in this. He's playing... and it's very complicated.
Yeah.
He's playing...
George Shapiro, the agent.
The manager.
Yeah.
And... he says to Cam, it's exact. They're all almost. It's George in shock that he's behaving exactly like Andy.
It must be so weird
for them replaying.
On like so many levels, it's like Inception.
It is what we're talking about. It may sound complicated, but is the Inception of documentaries. You feel like you're going mad. It's an actor playing someone. In the part that you were doing 15 years ago, reliving it, and he's acting exactly the same as the person.
Yeah.
I just wish, I think someone's written a letter in which about this, where I'm going to talk about later on, that they'd have more, it wasn't just Jim Carrey.
I would have liked to absolutely have heard from like Danny DeVito and Paul Giamatti and like the people around him in the film. I would have loved to hear what they think now.
Yes, because you only have little tiny bits of them. It's really odd seeing Paul Giamatti look really young.
Yeah.
And you see them, they are saying they've never seen anything like it. It is amazing.
Yeah. And this is at the time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas I would quite like to see them reflecting on it now and kind of being like, do you know what? It was an absolute nightmare for 3 months, but it made the film so much better and what it is.
Because it feels that Jim and Andy has got more stories than just Jim Carrey's story.
Yeah.
That has got the surrounding cast and what they thought of it and how they cope with it. Because it is fascinating being a complete method actor, but the reaction to it is just as fascinating from proper Hollywood actors.
Yeah, 100%. And I think what's like I said before, so interesting is that, a method actor is like, okay, what's the backstory of this character? I'm going to get into the mind of a usually fictional character, but he's playing a real person.
Yeah.
And he meets like Andy's sister and his dad and stuff.
That is the weirdest thing.
And he does it in character. And I found that very uncomfortable.
I think that was the moment where...
Because you're like, have you crossed the line now? This is...
Well, definitely.
How... It's their son died of cancer and you're sort of... you're pretending to be him.
And it was his son he hadn't met or daughter or something came to meet him.
Oh, yeah.
And there were bits that they talked about which weren't filmed. So but Jim Carrey's hugging Andy Kaufman's dad as his son would hug his dad.
Yeah, dressed as him, like made up as him. So weird. So, so weird. It's extraordinary, isn't it? And you just kind of think, how did he get to that point where he was just like, apart from the dolphins, like you said earlier?
That would be the point where you'd think, you know what? Even the most method of actors would say, right, I'm struggling to play someone to have the confidence. Unless you're meant mad, which you must have been mad, you would have to go, do you know what? I'm not going to have a conversation as if I'm your dead son, because that's
probably the line. That's where I draw the line.
I think it's way over.
Way past the line. Yeah, it is extraordinary.
It's the equivalent of literally going to, you know, to someone who's died 10 years later, dressing up as their son and going, well,
I'm back. Happy anniversary.
And you owe me 10 years worth of Christmas presents.
Yeah, I mean, there's commitment, and then there's... That's like committed to an institution level of commitment.
It's still got... It's amazing what artists can get away with.
Yeah.
Because any other workplace, you'd have... He was... There's a scene where he was... Andy Kaufman basically got into a fake argument with a pro wrestler, and he comes back. And what's great is they're all playing themselves. So
yeah,
and then Jim Carrey's throwing chairs at him, yeah, really riling him up. So he gets injured in the same way. So I mean, there's a bit of spoilers in the same way as Andy Kaufman.
That is astounding.
It's just literally whether it was an intentional.
It's the most Kaufman-esque. It's Kaufman Inception again.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. It's odd. Well, I think there's nothing that you really have that experience of film eating itself, and it really feels as though Andy Kaufman is making his spirit alive, and that's quite interesting. The point is whether, is he immortalising Andy Kaufman by literally replicating his spirit in the making of the film, which is in a way genius and the best.
It's like the ultimate tribute to him. You kind of think, well, if he was alive and if he was watching it, would Kaufman go, fair play, actually, yeah, you've really approached that in the spirit.
Well, there's claims that he is alive, isn't there?
Yes, in Hitler's bunker with Elvis.
Buddy Holly.
Right, in the mountain, just sort of, there's a little door on the mountain, the plane just went in there,
yeah,
and they're all just hanging out in Bond lair.
What, in terms of Jim Carrey, though, I came up because Universal Studios, I can't remember who the studio were, they tried to suppress this footage, thinking that it would, everyone would think Jim Carrey was an arsehole in his prime.
Fair play as well, you know, I think that was probably the right decision.
I don't know if it was. I think it would have been, I watched this footage, this documentary, and thought, why was this not released before?
Right.
Because this would have made the film, which was a flop for them, they lost millions.
Right.
It would have got them far more publicity.
But you could imagine how, like, a PR team would be very worried. They'd be like, you'll never work in this town again. People think you're an absolute wild card. You can't be trusted, blah, blah, blah. But then he has made a lot of very successful films that have made them a lot of money. So you figure it would balance itself out.
Did you come away from it thinking more or less of Jim Carrey?
Yeah, that's a tough one, isn't it? Because I was... There was a part of me that's like, I think that's the difference between a comedian and an actor. Is that an actor would really go that far into a character in a way that maybe a comedian wouldn't. But then he is ostensibly a comedian. So I guess it's possible maybe to be both. I don't know what my point was there. I was thinking a lot of the people around him and how I would react if I was that person. And if I think I would just get really fed up with it.
After 3 months, you'd get really pissed off.
You'd just go, man, you'd just be like, oh, I'm doing a film with Jim Carrey. It's going to be great. I think he's hilarious. I'm a big fan of his work. And then you're just like, oh, what's that? I haven't really spoken to him in the entire time we've made the film. Okay.
It's also a bit selfish as well. When I worked on something where someone, one member of this cast, was late by an hour every day, and late and literally left me and someone else in a car while they went shopping. So, and over the course of about 3 or 4 weeks, you think, well, you're literally wasting all this time. Me have to get into, out of bed an hour early, and then you go on set, and then you're pissed off.
Yeah.
Because you think, oh, I've got to put up with this. So you're trying to work on doing your job. And you think, oh, this is going to affect my career, which is what the tax people probably thought. You know what? This is going to mess up my... I'm just an actor doing my job.
That's it, isn't it? It's that very difficult line between, well, he's an artist doing a really great art thing, and then you're like, yeah, but there are ripples in that pond, and there are hundreds of people involved in making a movie.
Yeah.
And for every, you know, 20 minutes he's late because he's pricking about outside, you know, there's all the money that will be spent, like all these sort of unionized cameramen that can't stay any later, or like overtime is... It's such a pragmatic and grown-up way of looking at it. If we were both 25, we'd probably just be like, oh my God, it's amazing!
Yeah.
Oh, it's the best thing I've ever seen! It's so incredible! Yeah, brilliant!
Possibly there's a runner. I think of the poor runner. The poor sort of 21-year-old, 22-year-old. So, well, your job is going to look after Jim Carrey in this film. And they think, brilliant!
Love him! All righty then!
Now they've got to look after someone acting genuinely mental, walking around with a bag on their head, also.
Yeah.
It's, but anyway, I can't. I think as a documentary, it's one of the most and as a performer,
yeah,
it's fascinating seeing behind the scenes, and I wish I could see more of it. I wanted to go into more detail, if anything.
Yeah.
And there's some absolutely incredible, incredible moments of footage.
Yeah, I mean, it's like laugh out loud funny in parts,
yeah,
and also super cringeworthy. Like it's everything you want from a feature film slash documentary.
Yeah, so, and you're good to watch. And if you want to have a chat about a film, it's very good to chat about, as we may or may not have proved.
Yes, yeah, as hopefully we've ably demonstrated during this what some people are calling podcast.
Yeah. Well, that's about enough on that, isn't it? Shall we?
Is that it? We're done. All wrapped up. Do you have to give it marks?
I'll give it 8, Marek, Jim and Andy. 8 or maybe close to 9.
Ooh.
It was just lacking, like we said before, that extra detail.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's great. And as a companion piece to Man on the Moon, I think it's good. Maybe don't necessarily watch them both in the same day, because, you know, they do cover the same ground.
Yes.
But certainly in the same week. Find out when it's off iPlayer, drop Urn down the stairs, watch it, and then Jim and Andy will be on Netflix for ages because it's a Netflix original.
Yeah.
8 Simons.
Well, high marks indeed. Let's go straight to the letter section. The reason I rushed that is because this letter is from Henry King, subject Man on the Moon, so it's a continuation.
Great. Okay.
Hello, Marek, our mystery guest is you, Mystery Simon.
Hello. The big reveal is it's Simon Fielder, brackets, again, question mark?
This is from Henry King. Stupidly, I rewatched the movie when it was on BBC and then watched a Netflix documentary. Definitely the wrong way round.
Do you think?
I...
That's interesting. That's the way around. I deliberately watched them... The movie first.
I watched Jim and Andy and then watched Man on the Moon.
Oh.
And I think it would be better to do Man on the Moon than Jim and Andy.
Yeah. That's intriguing, isn't it? Because in my head I thought, well, I want the context first.
Yes.
And then it's like I'll watch the DVD extras where we go behind the scenes. But maybe if you watch the film knowing the whole time, You watch it in a different way.
It did add to it, but it is a bit like watching... I think you're very right, it is like watching the same thing again.
Yeah.
With DVD commentary. Anyway, here we go. Back to Henry King. I've always enjoyed the movie, but I don't think I really got it as a teenager, as Kaufman wasn't a massive deal in the UK. The documentary has added a lot to my appreciation of that film. It was amazing to see someone go through so much and give so much to a role. I mean, it would have been absolutely unbearable to work with on set. his actions really hint at some deep psychological issues. For about the first half, I kept on thinking, what a dick. He's totally ruined my childhood hero. But by the end, I kind of warmed to Jim's total and utter commitment. Obviously, disregard any supernatural bullshit that he was in.
Yeah, I think we're fully on the same page.
I am on the same page. Even the cast seemed to accept it as well. I guess they had no choice. One criticism is that I really wish they'd got to talk. We talked about this as well, but I agree with him. They'd got some of the cast and crew on to talk after the fact more.
Yeah.
I honestly think that Jim Carrey is really underrated. He's definitely an odd soul and makes shocking choices, like insisting that they generally chipped his tooth to play Lloyd in Dumb and Dumber. On Dumb and Dumber, please review it one day. I really think it holds up as a modern comedy classic. The two subsequent films are shit, but oh my God, that first one dominated my childhood. There are bits in it where you can see Jim is a really good actor, as well as a physical comedian. Keep watching the films, Henry, and massive congratulations to David, Danielle, Buddy and Baby. David's Baby.
It's come out, hasn't it?
It's come out.
I saw a picture of it.
It's called Lillian.
Lillian.
It's a nice name.
Lovely stuff. Great letter, that, actually, which, if anything, was
a great letter,
kind
yes.
of almost like York notes for our rambling conversation.
Oh, I mean, he basically, a synopsis.
Yeah.
Just skip forward to 20 or so minutes, and then...
Thanks. Who is it from? Matt King. I just invented that name.
Henry King.
Henry King. I think we're agreed on all of the above.
Here's a letter from Louis Chilton. Would you like to read it?
I'd love to read it. Thank you. Hi, American guest. Simon Fielder. Brackets. Seriously? Question mark. Glad you're keeping going with the podcast despite David's departure. Two film recommendations for you. Brawl in Cell Block 99, the second, brackets, horrifyingly violent film from the director of Bone Tomahawk, is a real treat. Hardly got a cinema release at all, but it's on demand somewhere or other. Secondly, there's a good film called Happy Christmas on Netflix with Anna Kendrick. And I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore's Melanie Lynskey. It's very low-stakes human drama, shoestring budget filmmaking. Brackets, mumblecore is the term sometimes used. The reviews were pretty tepid, but I'd heartily recommend it. Keep watching the films. Lewis.
You said Lewis. I said Louis. I wonder what it is. I can't remember. I might have read that letter out last week, but it's always good.
I've heard very good things about Brawl in Cell Block 99 with Vince Vaughn. Has it bypassed cinemas?
I think so, yes.
Oh, that's frustrating, because I feel like it would be a good movie to watch on the big screen. But I'm going to seek it out and try and watch it. The second one I've not heard of at all, the Anna Kendrick.
No, one. I'm not a fan of Anna Kendrick.
Are you not?
You know, some people just enjoy you? No one enjoys me. Annoy you for no reason.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I probably do that to a lot of people.
Yeah, I don't really have that. When people go, I can't watch that actor, I'm like, I don't understand.
Only
that.
A couple, but Anna Kendrick is one of my... I don't know what it is.
She seems like a really good egg to me. Like, I'd like to be friends with her. She seems like fun.
I'm
like
never
nice going to
be friends with her now if this goes out.
If this goes out, mate.
When I go to Hollywood and I'm going to film with Anna Kendrick, think, oh, you don't listen to Film Fandango episode 318, whatever it is.
What if one of the three multi-million dollar hits that we're in that come out next year co-stars Anna Kendrick and she hears this? You'll have to go full method, play a nice person.
I'd have to say this whole Film Fandango 5 years was an act of me being a moody arsehole.
Imagine!
Yeah. Oh, God.
So what was the name of that film, please, so I can remember it and watch it?
Let me locate it.
Thank you.
Access computer. Film called Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Okay.
Seems
like a perfect time of year to watch that one.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
There's another Christmas film with Seth Rogen and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Is it called The Night Before Christmas or The Night After? The Morning Before, The Day After. 2 hours previous.
Oof.
28 days. Like, it's... I don't know. It's supposed to be all right. It's on Netflix.
It sounds like a bloody advert for Netflix, isn't it, mate?
Yeah. And they've put the price up, so what? Anything, we should get a discount.
Is it $5.99?
I think it's $7.99 now. Or $6.99.
Shit.
I didn't even know there were tiers. Do you know there's tiers for Netflix?
There's always tiers for Netflix in my house. Time it takes to choose the movie. You never go through Netflix, spend all the time looking for the menu.
Live at the Apollo this week, Marek Larwood.
Walking up and down the stage.
There's a low tier that's $4.99 or $5.99 where you don't get HD. Who's doing that?
I'm doing the $5.99 one, which is, I think it's HD, but it's only one
screen.
Yeah.
That's gone up.
Shit, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's our last letter. That's how well the new format for the podcast is doing. We'd run out of letters.
Crikey. Right, do write in, guys, if you've got anything to add.
How do they write in, Simon?
Probably an email or a letter to Film Fandango, P.O. Box.
No, go to filmfandango.com, click on contact and write in your letters. We'll be really pleased to hear them. Or email dearfilmfandango.com. Remember, we love hearing from you. We think you are nice. And if you enjoy this podcast and want to donate to help funding of cinema tickets and the
inflated price of Netflix.
Inflated price of Netflix. Most cinemas, it's about, that's how upset I am, I can't speak properly. Matinee performances, like £11.
Woo!
Anyway, here's one. Yeah, then you can donate. And if you have donated it, thank you very much. It's really helping me.
You really should get Picture House Cinemas to sponsor this podcast.
They wouldn't be interested, mate.
Do you know anyone who works for Picture House? Do you work for Picture House? Why not get in touch via the website or the email and perhaps offer Marek plus guest a pass to see films at Picture House for free?
Yeah, that'd be good, yeah.
That'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
Yeah. What's that weird sound outside?
I think there might be dustmen outside your house or a delivery lorry.
Oh, is dustmen come on Tuesday?
Of course. You are middle-aged.
Right.
I put the bins out at 6:42.
As soon as it gets dark. The Ticket Desk by Ray Blake.
What?
It's a letter.
Oh.
But rather than saying from, I said by.
Lovely, actually, yeah.
Marek and Chum. When I was a lad, cinema, this is what I like. Someone, an older person, looking back and hopefully angry about something.
The real, the demographic of the podcast has really skewed old, I think.
Good.
Since David's gone.
Good, get rid of all that young lot. Marek and Chum. When I was a lad, cinemas always had a ticket desk, which was just that. A desk where you could buy tickets. If you had more money than cinch, you could then go to a separate counter and buy one of those boxes of fruit pastels that were unique to cinemas or some watery pop. Now, you are queue at a combined counter where your transaction is held up by the people in the front trying to make up their mind on the nachos versus hot dog question or waiting for their coffee to be ethically sourced, roasted and ground before you can get to the ticket for the film and now started 5 minutes ago. I'm sure that maximises food and drink sales for cinema, but for those of us who just want to buy a cinema ticket and get on, the current system is a nightmare. Am I old and grumpy? No, Ray Blake, you are 100% right. I hate that when some dickhead's buying. Who buys hot dogs to go into the cinema?
I don't know. I saw where that was headed quite early on that.
Yeah,
that
as soon as you go, they buy a hot dog, you should go, that should be the execution thing. You go, oh, we're at screen number 13, sir.
And when they go in the door, there's no screen.
No.
It's just a pile of previous hot dog purchases.
It's just, you walk, it goes dark, and there's just a spiked pit.
You just fall straight, yeah.
The mouth from Return of the Jedi, the Star Wars.
The Sarlacc pit.
Yeah, perfect. Screen 13.
Lovely stuff. Yeah, I do think...
And their bodies are used as meat in the hot dog.
So do you get to eat the hot dog before you fall in the pit?
Well, it's up to you how much you're eating.
Fair play. I do think that is annoying when you queue up and someone's buying, you know, their family's worth of popcorn. But what I will say is, that's when those credit card ticket machines come into their own. Bosh, done. You just don't have to worry about all the people spending thousands of pounds.
A lot of times they don't work. And you've got, I find if you've got a member, the Pitch House especially, flagging them off, I try and use their one when I sometimes go in the morning and it's half term or something, so shit loads of twatty kids about. I think I'll use a ticket machine, but they never work properly.
Do you work for Picture House or know someone who works for Picture House? Get in touch and save Marek and his guests having to queue up every time they visit.
We've talked quite a lot.
Have we?
Yeah, we have talked quite a lot. To finish up on, I've abandoned the quiz section.
Okay. I think it was a lot of fun last time, but, you know, it's hard work, isn't it?
I asked listeners if they liked it.
Oh,
one person said they liked it.
Yeah.
That was a friend who listened to the podcast. No one else replied.
Oh.
So it's gone unless you request it. We talked about, if you want to know what Simon's IMDb score is and his top films, we talked about it 2 weeks ago.
It was bad, wasn't it? It hasn't Godfather, got better since, yeah. Yeah.
Any film recommendations to finish up on?
Ooh, what have I watched since last time? Oh, watch Train to Busan.
It's very good, isn't
it? I think
it?
I messaged you about that. A Korean zombie thriller. I thought it was excellent. Korea makes some great movies. I know that seems like a ridiculously sweeping statement, but they... whereas maybe... I think in my head, I have sort of... rose-tinted specs for the sort of 90s Hong Kong movies, which were a little bit rough around the edges, and nowadays they're not, but Korea churns out Hollywood quality
Train to Busan blockbusters. It is a great idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea and really well executed, with the absolutely textbook Korean bleakness that if you've watched a bunch of sort of Korean drama thrillers, you will come to expect. Highly recommended. Just a great zombie film and a great film. And it's on Amazon Prime, I believe.
I bought it off some, I think, when I watched it.
Yeah.
And I'd like to recommend my friend Paul Allen, who was on the guest last week. I watched The Puffy Chair, which is, we talked about mumblecore before. This was a mumblecore film, a low budget film. And I want to make a low-budget film soon, so I thought I'd watch a couple of these. And it's basically, they filmed it, it's a bloke and his girlfriend and his brother go to pick up a chair they bought, which was a bit like their old dad's favourite chair. But the characters and the performances are so brilliant, and it's so funny, and it's just shot, half the camera's out of focus a lot of the time. It's literally someone, a bit like a home video, it's really low budget, but the sound is a good quality, that's the key thing.
That's how you differentiate,
and it's fascinating. So it's by the Duplass brothers, who've gone on to be star in things like The League. I think Mark Duplass married the lady in it. Sorry, I can't remember. I'll look up her name. I think it's Kate something. Kate Hazelton. And his brother filmed it. They basically borrowed 15 grand from their parents.
Whoa.
Because they tried to make films before and not got anywhere.
Was it their first feature?
They made two shorts and they got into Sundance, but really low budget, really struggling film shorts. They borrowed 15 grand from their parents and they made this film and shot it in about 5 or 6 days. And the camera work is not, you know, it's just quite a bit sort of... low budget, like what's it called, the Blair Witch Project. Not that, but that sort of quality.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't matter. I watched another one of their films.
Did they do Drinking Buddies? Can you check that for me? Because I can't remember if that's them or some others, some other mumblecore folks.
I'm just looking it up now. I cannot.
That was maybe some other people that also did that movie recently with the guy from New Girl. Called, oh, it was about, he was played a gambler. It was a Netflix film, which was very enjoyable. Oh no, I'm never going to work it out now. People are shouting.
Well, interesting, Duplass Brothers did another film called Manson Family Vacation, which is a bit similar, but it just felt a bit similar to Loser Brother and his similar characters, but a really polished film with the other brother acting in it. And I was watching it with my friend Paul, and it felt terrible because it was too
polished.
Yeah,
right.
It was shot properly. All the lighting was properly, and I wasn't engaged in it at all. It's very odd.
That is interesting. Joe Swanberg. Who is the director? Oh, well, this is interesting because he is the director of Happy Christmas, the Anna Kendrick film that was just mentioned in that letter from one of your listeners. He directed Drinking Buddies, which I enjoyed. So I imagine I will enjoy Happy Christmas. He also directed the film Win It All, which is on Netflix, which is very enjoyable, and stars the guy from New Girl, whose name is Jake Johnson. Well, there's quite a nice sort of symmetry to that, isn't it? That's all
this
come around
like
full circle.
It's a very odd episode. Everything's related in this episode.
Oh, goodness.
I hope I don't go and shoot someone in the cinema.
In what way?
Oh, I get a shot. Because I've been talking about that, haven't I?
Oh, well, yeah. It all feels quite scattershot, but it's oddly come together at the end, like a Harold in improv. How enjoyable.
A Harold. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Please write in. Please keep listening. Why not rate us on iTunes? That's what other podcasts do. They say this stuff. Why not rate us on iTunes or write a review? Someone's written a nice review, but they've... I don't know why, but they've given us one star.
What?
Yeah, but it's a nice review.
Oh, is that like a joke or they've just clicked it wrong and they can't change it?
No, who knows? Maybe we'll never know.
Well, you're going to need to balance that out by getting a lot more five-star reviews. So if you have enjoyed the podcast and continue to enjoy it, just do that.
Or follow us on Facebook or on Twitter. Or follow Simon Fielder at Simon Fielder. Visit SimonFielder.com. Subscribe to Simon Fielder's YouTube channel. Go around to Simon Fielder's house. Watch
Optional.
Simon Fielder leave for work.
Mm.
Go around the back of his house. Throw a stone through the window.
No, don't do that.
Break into Simon Fielder. Put on some piss on Simon Fielder's clothes.
Skip that one.
Set fire. Do all those things. All right. Thanks. Thanks for listening.
Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.